Does he want to reference it?
If anyone wants some Armacobus for today, it's here. You get a free page on the back because I recycled paper, so it's like a try to figure out what, you know, what you got on the back, you know, if there's any deeper message there. All right, so we're going to start with a Gemara at the beginning of Klal Gadol, at least, I shouldn't say the beginning of Klal Gadol, but on the Malachos, and that's on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. And we began last week, if you recall, to speak about Meleches Bona. I want to try to bridge between Bona and Kosev, and speak about Meleches Machshev. So I have a lot of goals for today to achieve both a Klaliistic discussion about Meleches Shabbos and how it compares to Isurei Torah, and at the end of the day to cover something specific about Meleches Bona and Meleches Kosev. So the Gemara tells us on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis that there's a fundamental difference between what you do in your house and what you do out in the Sada. Omer Rav Sheshes, Haisalo Gavshushes Vinotla. So we're talking about Tikkun HaKarka. And in this case, there's a Gavshushes that's bothering him. Some sort of mound that's protruding in the ground. It's high above the ground. And he removes it. So if he does it b'bayis, chayv mishum bona. If he does it b'sada, he's chayv mishum choresh. And now we have the flip side. Not a gavshushes that's bothering the karka, but rather a guma. Omar Rava haisalo guma, v'tomima, b'bayis chayv mishum bona, b'sada chayv mishum choresh. Now, let's pay attention to Rashi, because Rashi adds a word here that would seem to be totally unnecessary. Rashi says, Babayis, Shayach Binyan, Shemiskavein Lahashvos Karkioso. That he has Kavana to flatten out the floor in his house. So the question is, and the one who noticed this is the Avnei Nezer. I'll read to you a little bit from the Avnei Nezer. He wants to know, why did Rashi have to add Shemiskavein? Lechora, he writes, Tevas miskaven, lechora miyutar, hoylo lefari, shemashva karkioso. He flattens out his ground. That's a tikkun in the karka. Vinire, and here he says a whole shtickle Torah, a beautiful chiddush. He says, kivan bazeh, what Rashi had in mind here by adding miskaven, is to answer a kasha. He says, why should he be chayev in this case? Hukshalo l'rashi are karka abayis nish'eres kemosha hoya. He didn't really make any change whatsoever in the karka of the bayis. Hurak mesalek es agavshushes. He's only removing something that's bothering him. He's being mesalek something that's mafrialo. And therefore, he's only indirectly causing a tikkun in the karka. Basically, the karka itself is flat, just that there's a gavshushes that's bothering him, and therefore he has to remove the gavshushes. But the karka bais nisheres kmo shehaya. So Rashi was bothered by how does he incur a chiyuv for meleches boneh when he's just being misalik amafriya. And according to the Avnei Nezer, the answer to this problem that Rashi offers is shemiskaven, because he has a specific kavana, lahashvos karkiyosov, to flatten out the ground. And the Avnei Nezer goes on to compare this to the case of mochek almanas lichtov. He says mechika is also just being misalik. It's removing something that bothers you, and yet it's one of the 39 malachas. So the answer is, but it's almanas lichtov. So it's mechika almanas lichtov. Says the Avnei Nezer, you see that kavana plays a role when the malacha per se is only just a siluk. It's only removing a mafriya, something that bothers you.
And he quotes the halacha that kol kai gavna havi meleches machsheves umechayev. So lefiani is daiti, this piece in the Avnei Nezer, I'm going to try to support it, is a major breakthrough. It should be presented in any introductory overview of Melechah Shabbos. Because we have a tendency of understanding that whenever the Gemara flexes the muscle of Melechah Machsheves Asur Torah, it's lekula. It's coming to tell you that you're potter. For example, Tosus says in Masechta Yoma that even Rabbi Yehudu says that you're Chayef for Dov Hashem Miskavin on Shabbos. He agrees that's only Durabbanon because Melechas Machsheves Asur Torah, the absence of Kavana is a Chisaron in Melechas Machsheves. Or for example, Rav Shimon, who owns that Melech Hashem Tzrichel Gufa, is Potter because it's a Chisaron. I mean, there are many different interpretations of Rav Shimon, but certainly one school of thought would maintain it's a Chisaron in Melechas Machsheves. Makalkel is potter. There's a unique halacha in Shabbos that Misasek is potter. He thought he was pulling up the black ones and he got the white ones. They were both mechubar. So he had kavana litlo shesa mechubar for ketzira, but nevertheless, he's potter, he didn't Misasek. That's not a Meleches Machsheves. So again, our overview of Meleches Machsheves is that what is Meleches Machsheves? Is it a kula in Shabbos or a chumra in Shabbos? It's a kula. It's a ptur, correct? Oh. Here, I think in this Avnei Nezer, we have a case where Meleches Machsheves, the word machshava here means kavana. His machshava to create a melacha, to create a tikkun, is something which by all standards would not qualify. When I say all standards, I mean if we look from the perspective of Kol HaTorah Kula, and you talk about what constitutes a ma'isa has to be something active, not something that removes a barrier. It's not enough to be mesalik or mafria. You need a positive ma'isa. And here, what is he doing? He's removing the gavshushes, but he's chayav mishum meleches bona. Why? Says Rashi, because he's miskaven lahashvos karkiosov. And that kavana, to be mashva karkiosov, is itself a meleches machsheves. And therefore he's chayav. So here we have meleches machsheves, not lekula rabosa, but rather lechumra, something which would not constitute a maisa avera in from the standards of Kol Tar Kula, becomes a maisa malacha from the standard of Shabbos through what mechanism? Through Meleches Machsheves, through his kavan. That's the Avnei Nezer. If anybody wants a copy of the Avnei Nezer, it's in Orachaim Kuf, Orachaim Reshut Zion. Yeah,
is he redefining Meleches Machsheves?
I don't think so, because I think that there are sources way before the Avnei Nezer, which we'd like to try to, you know, thresh out and see if we can flesh it out, as they say, to prove that Meleches Machsheves goes in two different directions. That sometimes, classically, Meleches Machsheves is a ptur. But we're going to see a sugya bavakama mirtz Hashem, and it's the Ran in Meleches Kosev and Meleches Ksiv who makes the big deal about this sugya in Bava Kamma, in Perek HaKones, to prove that Meleches Machsheves is not always a ptur. It just changes your definition. Sometimes it changes your definition by raising the standards of what constitutes a malacha, and therefore it's a kula. Sometimes, on the contrary, it gives a special power to your kavana to engender a malacha where, as by standards of Kol HaTorah Kula, you would be potter. So again, I'm building myself on the Avnei Nezer, but I want to show you, if I can, and to me this is a gewaldige chiddush and puts a lot of different sugyas into perspective, and you'll see some of them on the page if you like to look ahead, that Meleches Machsheves doesn't mean a kula and it doesn't mean a chumra. It's something unique to the concept of what is a tikkun, what is a melacha. It's definitely unique to Melechah Shabbos, in contrast to Kol HaTorah Kula, but it's not necessarily a kula as we usually understand it. You know, if you woke me up in the middle of the night and asked me for a knee-jerk response, I would say that Melechah Machsheves is a ptur. But it ain't so, it ain't so. Melechah Machsheves might be a chiyuv, a machayev, b'toras, kavana gives a special emphasis on my kavana in such a way that I'm chayev for something that doesn't seem to qualify as a maisavir.
Didn't we say the same thing by Malacha Zaira also? That Malacha Zaira also should not be a malacha because you didn't do anything be a dad, you just threw it into the wind and the wind did the malacha.
Exactly. That's the sugya. Excellent. That's the sugya in Perek HaKonis. Malacha Zaira. It's called, the name of the sugya is called Liba V'Libsa Ruach. I mentioned it a few weeks ago, but now I want to see it inside. That's Malachas Kibui. But I have on the agenda something that I want to share with you before we get to the sugya in Bava Kama. One of the fundamental issues in Malachas Boneh is what's called a Binyan She'ena Shel Keva, which means I build something on a temporary basis and I expect, I anticipate to take it down and replace it. But right now, it's temporary. It's not a binyan kavua. So the Yerushalmi addresses the question of a binyan she'ena kavua in Perek HaBoneh and offers two answers to the following question. In the case of Malechus Boneh and the Mishkan, and the Krashim on the Adonim, that was Lechora, a temporary binyan. It was Eino Shel Keva because the intention was to take apart the Mishkan and rebuild it elsewhere. And then how can the standard, or shall we say the paradigm of Malechus Boneh, which we derive from Mishkan, be a case of a binyan She'eino Shel Keva? And the Gemara in Yerushalmi, according to the Chidushi HaRashba here in Perek HaBoneh, Kuf Beis Amid Beis, offers two different approaches. And we'll soon see that according to the Rashba, one approach is Eino Chinami. You're Chayev from Malechus Boneh, even with a binyan shel Eino Shel Keva. In fact, according to the Rashba, that's exactly how we paskin. According, at least within the framework of the Yerushalmi. We're going to try to see what the Bavli holds in that. So the Yerushalmi offers two answers. The first answer of the Yerushalmi is Al Pi Hashem Yachnu Val Pi Hashem Yiso, which means that Eino Chinami, from the perspective of Klal Yisrael, when they structured the Mishkan, it was, so to speak, Li'olam Vayet. It was a Binyan Shel Keva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would tell them with a new tzivui that they should move, they should take apart the Mishkan and re-erect it elsewhere. But the binyan of the Mishkan in and of itself is a binyan shel keva. This itself, by the way, Rabbi Osei, doesn't prove the Avnei Nesa, but also shows the power of Kavana. That their Kavana was to leave it there because they didn't have any other mitzvahs. Al Pi Hashem. Okay, we'll get back to that in just a minute. Then Yerushalmi offers another answer. That Eino Chinami, when you look at the Mishkan, it was certainly a binyan shel Eino Shel Keva. And we're going to derive the halacha of Malechus Boneh from the binyan HaMishkan. Despite the fact that it's a binyan shel Eino Shel Keva, there's no kvius. And why is there no kvius? What about Al Pi Hashem Yachnu? So Yerushalmi offers a second answer, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu already told Klal Yisrael that the Mishkan is going to accompany them for 40 years in the Midbar until they enter into Eretz Yisrael, and then they're going to build the Beis HaMikdash after Chalukah, etc., etc., Yerusha V'Yeshiva. So the Yerushalmi adds one line after it offers the second answer, Mikan lebinyan she'eino shel keva dahavi binyan. And the Rashba says that why did the Yerushalmi add that line? To demonstrate that we accept the second opinion, that the Mishkan, insofar as we knew from the get-go, it was a temporary structure meant to be taken apart, dissected, and restructured elsewhere. You're chayev from Malechus Boneh because the Mishkan teaches you that binyan she'eino shel keva havi binyan. And the Rashba comes to the conclusion, without mentioning the Bavli, that according to the Yerushalmi, you are chayev for binyan she'eino shel keva because the Mishkan itself was a binyan she'eino shel keva. Comes along the Chasam Sofer here in Perek HaBoneh, and he says that the Bavli is against the Yerushalmi. Because the Bavli asks a different question, and that is that you're only chayev from Lecha Soser if it's Almanas Livnos Ba'oso Makom. You're going to restructure the building that you're taking apart right there in its place, but not the Makom Acher. So the Gemara asks, but what about the Mishkan? The Mishkan was the stira almanas livnos b'makom acher. So we makom shebasa, all malachas Shabbos derived from Mishkan. We should derive from here that you don't need almanas livnos b'osam makom. So Yushalmi answers nay. Yushalmi says al pi Hashem yachnu, al pi Hashem yisov, al pi Hashem yachnu, meaning like the first daya in the Yushalmi, that since our tzivui now was here, we don't know about any other makom. You know, we could be naive about that.
Why would you take it down?
Correct. That's a good question. We have to understand what the Bavli means by saying al pi Hashem yachnu, al pi Hashem yiso. But the part that we need for our purposes, Akiva's question is an excellent question, but I'm just saying, what we need for our purposes is that, as far as I'm concerned, whether it's binyan or stira, I don't know about any other hasa. You know, maybe I have to take it down because it's not, you know, it's a laila, you know, we need yom, and not laila, whatever it is, but I'm going to be building it in the same place until there's a mitzvah tzivui of niso. Says the Chassam Sofer that you see that the Bavli only accepted the first answer of the Yerushalmi. The second answer of the Yerushalmi is completely omitted. So whereas the Rashba is right within the framework of the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi added that one line, Mikan, Lebinyan She'ena Shel Keva Dechashiv Binyan, But that's only because of the second answer that we already had a tip off that the Mishkan is going to be moved from place to place, and we can't use Al Pi Hashem Yiso. But since the Bavli doesn't mention a word about that second answer, and it only mentions the first answer, says the Chassam Sofer, from here we should conclude that Binyan She'eno Shel Keva Lav Shmei Melechas Bona. And it's so fascinating to me that the Chassam Sofer goes ahead and he says, open your umbrella on Shabbos. He has no problem with umbrellas on Shabbos because he holds it's a binyan she'eino shel keva. In Poskim, it's much more complicated than that. And you all know that we try to avoid, like the plague, opening an umbrella. But the Chassam Sofer was no slouch. And just by my Ramuzka, the older I get, the more I'm dispelled from the Chassam Sofer. My Rebbe never mentioned his name. I was in the Shia for 5 years, but I think something was missing. The Chassam Sofer is brilliant. I'll tell you why he didn't mention his name, because he wanted to come up with everything on his own. You know? But be that as it may. So I'm thinking to myself, Rabosai, a person builds a binyan, and that binyan in and of itself is royalist kayim. It's royalios keva. Ella what? He's potter melechah Shabbos according to the Bavli, the way the Chassam Sofer interprets the Bavli, because his intention is to take it apart. It's a binyan she'eino shel keva. And whereas the binyan in the base in the Mishkan was a binyan shel keva al pi Hashem yisov. Interesting. What would be? I was thinking out loud, I want to tell you a little story here. I don't know how many of you have heard of Englewood, New Jersey. In the main Orthodox shul, the modern Orthodox shul in Englewood, New Jersey, they had a tremendous building campaign to build a new Beit HaKnesset, because it was too tight in the old Beit HaKnesset. And what would they do in the interim to invite everyone? They had an engineer built a tent. P.S., I mean, I don't know if Rabbi Myers is listening, but the tent itself cost $1 million. The ultimate building, where they are now, cost 35 times that amount. But the tent was $1 million. And I was just wondering, in Hilchas Binyan Beis HaKnesses, this is public knowledge, this is not Lashon Hara, they had a tent. I mean, Kol Kavod, I mean, if you have that kind of money, you can raise money for a tent. The tent itself was humongous. It was like, you know, a couple of blocks long. But would they have been mekayim the mitzvah of binyan beis haknesses? Which, by the way, there's so many dinim that the Rambam codifies about mitzvahs binyan beis haknesses.
People do it for weddings.
What do you say?
People do it for weddings. put it up and take it down next day.
Okay, so I don't know. What do you mean? If, just for the sake of a wedding? So I don't know. Is that a kiyum? I don't know. I'm not sure if that's a kiyum. But Beis HaKnesset is certainly a kiyum. And I wonder if the fact that their intention was that this beautiful ohel, which for us here in the Amic Learning Center could last for the next 50 years, if their kavana to take it apart once they finish the building campaign would be enough to be mafkia the mitzvah. Are we saying that for that temporary period of time, it took them, I think, 3-4 years until they built a new building? I don't know exactly the story. Do you know, what did they do with the tent? I don't remember. I don't know if you could sell that tent. Anyway, it's worth a fraction of what it was worth then. But that didn't faze anybody. So I'm just wondering, I wanted to suggest, based on the Chasam Sofer, and you know where I'm going with this, that this halacha, that we passing like the Bavli against Yushalmi, that a binyan she'ena shel keva lav shmei melech is bona, and therefore you can open up your umbrella. I would say that that's a separate halacha of meleches machsheves, but in the other direction. Here we go back to the Mishnah at the beginning of Perek HaBoneh, and the Mishnah says malachto miskayemes, and here Kavana tells me that dafka am potur because of the special halacha of meleches machsheves, that here my Kavana was to make it into a temporary binyan. And according to the Chasam Sofer, the Lamaskana, we pass in a temporary binyan, lav shmei binyan, that's because of my kavana, the building itself, in and of itself, is roi. It's fit to last li'olam vayed, biz bias gael, but nevertheless, my kavana was that it should be a temporary
binyan. It's not
Zore?
Oel.
But I'm suggesting that whether or not you chayv on ohel in a temporary ohel depends upon these 2 days in the Yerushalmi. Correct? Are you with me on that, or you're not with me? In other words, again, whether we're talking about the av or the tolda, the issue is going to be whether or not you chayv when it's eno shel keva. So if you hold that you need a binyan shel keva, again, you won't find this in the poskim, but it's a chasam sofer, then in the case of an oel, sheinah shel keva, that's not meleches binyan, not an av, nor a tolda. But I'm suggesting that's because in meleches machsheva, it's a special halach of your kavana, and your kavana converts this binyan into binyan.
Keva means shel keva.
I don't know, maybe for 30 days, maybe for a year, maybe for 7 years, maybe for 3 years. I mean, you have every single, Meleches Kosher, you'll have this question, what's considered Kayoma? In Binyan Bekelim, you're going to talk about it?
Right.
Okay.
And all, I think in Mr. Merger, it's a few days.
A few days, okay. Now, Rabosai, if we're getting back to Meleches Machsheves Lechumra, I want to point out to you, and we've discussed this many times in the past, but I think it tolerates repetition, that Meleches Bishul should be our classical case. And why is that so? Because we have standards of Bishul in Kol HaTorah Kula. For example, the Torah says, Lo Savashel Gediba Chalev Himo, we just had it recently. And the question is, what's the deal with the Iser Avera of Bishol, which is a lav d'oraisa that incurs Malkus, in a case where you already cooked the Basar B'cholov? Do we apply the principle of Ein Bishol, Achar Bishol, in the case of Basar B'cholov? So in the encyclopedia, he has a long, long footnote with Gedolei Achronim. He has here a Stechemed. He's got the Darkei Tshuva. Or as the author would have said, Darki Chiva. He has the Prima Gadim. I mean, he's got all the Achronim here. And they vacillate back and forth about this question. And according to many of the poskim, you would not incur a violation of Bishul Basa B'chol of Doraisa in a case where it was already no same Tam, and it was the Tam Cholav went into the Basar, because of the principle of Ein Bishul Acher Bishul, which applies according to this school of thought, even with regard to Bishul Basa B'chol. However, there's a very fascinating Magid Mishnah with the Diuk in the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Tes, Mihilcha Shabbos, Halacha Gimel, with regard to Meleches Bishul on Shabbos, says the following. He says, Hamavashel Dovashaya Mavushal called Tsarko, etc., Potur. The Rambam says that it was Mavushal called Tsarko. Says the Magid Mishnah, what if it was Mevushal Kemichel Bendrosai? The Rambam in Halacha Hey in the same Perek Test says that Yochayev for Bishul, even Chatzi Bishulo, which means Kemichel Bendrosai according to the Shita of Rambam. And yet, according to the Diuk, and it's a very strong Diuk of the Magid Mishnah, when does the Rambam say that you're potter for the second Bishul? That's because it was Mevushal Kol Tzarko. Had it only been Mevushal Kemichel Benjo Soy, which is certainly enough in Asinus Tam and maybe even beyond that, nevertheless you would be chayav for the second Bishul. And I ask myself the following question: why is it that with regard to your standard definition of Bishul, as it applies universally, and by the way, that's not only with regard to Bas Mechala, there's also Nisur Bishul with regard to the Korban Pesach. We're already Shloshim Yom Konim Achag, we can learn a little bit about Korban Pesach. Is this a separate lav of Bishul with regard to the Korban Pesach? What would be with regard to someone who violated this Isur in a Bishul Achar Bishul situation? Once the first Bishul is Chal, then we have halach of ein bishul achar bishul. And yet the Rambam says, according to the Magid Mishnah's reading of the Rambam, and I don't know another way, I mean again, many Rishonim disagree with that, the Rashba and so forth, but according to the Magid Mishnah, the Rambam, once it was, even though it was already a shame bishul, and that's because Michael ben Josai is bishul, nevertheless, it doesn't matter, your Maisa Bishul, which in Kol HaTorah Kula would not qualify as a Maisa Bishul, because it's already Mevushal, but with regard to Shabbos, is a separate halacha of Meleches Machsheves. What does the Magid Mishnah mean that you're Chayav, even though it's already Mevushal, Kamaychal Ben Josai, for taking it from Chatzi Bishulo to Kol Bishul, Kol Tzarko? Meleches Machsheves Asr Torah. It means that from your perspective, since you want it to be Mevushal again, what do I mean again? You know, it's the Cheftas Mevushal he did from the standards of Kol Tzarko Kula. But you want to make it even more tasty. You know, you're not a Ben Josai on the move. You know, you want to eat a very geshmaka piece of chicken or meat. You want it to be Mevushal Kol Tzarko. That itself is a tikkun. Your need, your kavana and machshava makes it into a tikkun. So even if by standards of Kol HaTorah Kula it doesn't qualify as a maisa bishul, but nevertheless it would be chayav in Melech HaShabbos. And I think I found a source for this in Tosfos. Tosfos, with regard to klisheni, here in Melech HaBishul Lamentes, this is sugi of Kaliyah Bishul. Tosfos Lamentes Amud Aleph Divrei Maskil Kol Sheba B'Chamin, he quotes the Ri, the Baal HaTosfos, who says that the case of Kaliyah Bishul is in a klisheni, and yet he's chayav. And the obvious question is, we have a rule that klisheni ain't a mevashel. That means that, for example, with regard to Blias Isur in Yoredeya, is we have a principle of klisheni ain't a mevashel. And that principle would apply to Bishul Bas Mechalav, it would apply to Bishul Karban Pesach. Klisheni, B'Kol HaTorah Kula doesn't qualify as a Maisa Bishul, doesn't have the Tzuras Mevashel. It's only in a Klisheni. And yet Tosfos at least goes on record as saying that in Kaliyah Bishul, they lend themselves to a Bishul to prepare these foods. Even though it's a Klisheni, a Chai from Melechus Bishul. How could that be? And the answer is again, Meleches Machsheves Asr Torah L'Chumra, that your kavana to create a tikkun is enough to substitute for the lack, you know, the deficiency in what would be a Maisa Bishul in klisheni and Kol HaTorah Kula, because klisheni is not a Maisa Bishul, but nevertheless you could be chayev in Meleches Shabbos. And here Rabosai, I want to talk to you about Meleches Ksiva, because as I said, my goal today is to bridge between Meleches Bona and Meleches Ksiva, and I hope at the end of this year we can swing back to Meleches Bona. The Sugi of Kosev is here in Perek HaBona on Daf Kuf Dalet. So we open up to Daf Kuf Dalet on the base, and there we have a case which is, I mean, the name of the sugya in Shas terms is called Chok Tochis, which means that I create a ksav by removing something through the act of siluk. And the Gemara actually gives two cases. The Gemara gives a case where I have a ches, and I remove the gag of a ches, and I create two zainin. Or I have a dalid, and I remove the spitz of the dalid, and I create a resh. And the Gemara says in both cases, Yochayev, that's the sugi here, on Daf Kuf Dalid Amid Beis. So the Ran here on the Rif, what Daf is it on the Rif? Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. Okay, because I have two Rifs that I want to share with you. So he quotes the Rashba, and he argues with the Rashba. Very unusual machlokas. He says that the Rashba derived from this sugya of Higios Achas, Amar of Sheshes Ma'askini Kiron Shenot Lo Lagagos Shol Ches Asol Shnei Zayin Rav Amar Kiron Shenot Lo Lagagos Shol Dalid Vasol Reish Kosev B'Chidush HaRashba Mihosh Aminon. The Rashba derives a conclusion in Hilchas Get, because in Get it says V'Kosav V'Nosan, that this chok tochos would qualify as because of. This is your standard case of ksiva, and even though it's ksiva b'der grama, it's indirect ksiva, because you don't really add any dio, all you're doing is removing that which is surrounding it so that the dio of the letter will rise up, or in the case of removing the gago shell ches and making two zainin, you didn't do a maisik siva. Says the Rashba from this Gemara here in Shabbos Kuf Dalet Amid Beis, you derive the conclusion that this kind of indirect siva qualifies as ksiva, and therefore be kosher for a get. And the poskim go a step further, the achronim. They want to say that the Rashba would say hu adin vu atam in the midst of Sefer Torah, for writing a Sefer Torah, that if you write it in this indirect way, you'd be mekayim in the midst of ksiva Sefer Torah. Zokran ein kan, we near the ein kan raya, there's no proof. This is not a maisik ksiva, says the Ran. The legavi Shabbos Lekok peda bein chok tochos lechok yirechos. The chol hecha da'avi meleches machsheves mechayev. He wants to create a ksav. He wants to create an oath. And even though, from the universal standards of Kol Tar Kula and Ksivas Get and Ksivas Sefer Torah, this would not constitute a maisik ksiva, it's not my direct action, nevertheless, in Shabbos I'm chayv, because the kpeda in Shabbos is on the ksav itself, on the tikkun that I have here in Os. And that's derived, says the Ran, from Aleches Machsheves. And he proves it. Where do you have a case where there's no maisik ksiva and yet you're chayv from Malach on Shabbos? He says, Afilu mochek al menas lichtov chayv. Where's the ksiva? There's no ksiva, it's mechika, just the contrary. But it's almanas lichtov. And therefore, you're chayev in Melech HaShabbos even for an indirect ksiva. Avo b'midi de be'inon ksiva, but in universal terms, when I need a ksiva, is kahai gavna ein lonu. This would not qualify as a ksiva. So it comes out that Meleches Machsheves lechumra, that your kavana completely circumvents the problem that there's no maisa. It's sort of like the case of the Chassam Sofer in Meleches Bone, where we said that in Bayis, he's chay fashvas gumos. Excuse me, fashvas gavshushes. Why? Because he had kavana fashvas gavshushes, even though he's only being misalik to gavshushes. And in Meleches Bishul, you are chayef because of your kavana to be metake in the ochel, taking it from Kemichael ben Josai to Mevushal called Sarko, and likewise you chayef from Meleches Kosev, even lacking a direct maisik siva of Kol HaTorah Kula.
He says it's Kosev or he says it's Mochek?
No, in the case of mochek, he's chayim mishum mochek. You know, the hasra would have to be b'shem ha'av, who would be meleches mochek. But he's proving that there's halacha meleches machshavah. So why am I chayif meleches mochek? Ribono shalom. At the end of the day, I'm removing something. He says that this act is considered a chashav act because my intention is to replace it with a bedek sav. That itself engenders a chiyuv of meleches machshavah. And also, if I remove something around the dio, and now the dio is bolei rachutza, that itself constitutes a chiv melacha of meleches kosev, despite the fact that it would not qualify not for ksivas get, nor for ksivas sefer Torah. It's an amazing halacha of meleches machsheves lechumra. And I want to open up the Rambam in meleches kosev, the Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Zayin. We know... Yeah, I'm sorry.
Are we saying that you don't need a Maisa to send seven Menachem? Or are we saying if you need a Maisa for Lech Hashem, has it somehow mashlim the...
Ah, I hear. That's a good Chakir. Excellent. But just for our purposes, Shimi, I don't know if you have enough to meet in mind, which is just a theoretical question, but you're right. What we're suggesting is that which would not be a Maisa Ksiva in Kol HaTorah Kula becomes Ksiva because of my intention and successfully implementing a Ksav. If I'm left with a Ksav, that's Melechas Ksiva. The Melacha is in the Ksav if that was my intention. And my intention to create that ksav elevates the ksav in such a way that if I am the goreim of that ksav, that itself is meleches kosev. So I'm not willing to say it becomes exact. Correct. Not a maisa ksiva. The Rambam writes in meleches kosev, this is the last halacha in Perek Yud Alef, that Yechayev, just one second, for Roshem. Roshem told us Kosefu, Ketzad a Roshem Rishamim, Vitzuros, Bekosel, Kiyotzebezet, etc. He's a Chayev, Mishum, Kosef. So the Chofetz Chaim, who we all saw recently, in the Bir Halacha, it's one of those humongous Bir Halachas, you know, I wish you luck. It's actually here in Siman Shin Mem, it's on page Kuf Tzadi Aleph in the standard Mishnah Berurahs. I don't know if there's, now they have different Mishnah Berurahs, but in the old-fashioned ones. So he wants to know whether or not the shear of Shtei Osios is a requirement in Meleches Roshem as a Tolda of Bona. The Av requires two Osios, and the Tolda is Roshem. Does Roshem require two Rishimos? How many Tziurim do you have to draw? How many little miniature paintings do you have to draw in order to be Chayev for the Tolda of Meleches Bona? And he vacillates back and forth. And I'm not sure what his Maskana is. I think he's noted to you'll have to judge yourself, to the position that you chayev for Roshem even with one Rishima, because he quotes the Rambam. The Rambam has a chiddush with regard to Shtei Osios in Meleches Kosev. It's also here in Perek Yud Aleph. The Rambam writes that if you repeat, this is Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Yud, HaKosev Os Kfula, he writes the same letter twice. Okay, that's the famous sugya of Aleph Aleph Dezrecha. And the Rambam paskins that if it creates a shame, he gives you a whole list, dad, tas, gag, dar, rar, sos, sas, chach, he's chayev. Oh, says the Magid Mishnah, but if he writes two letters, I'm sorry, if he writes the same letter twice, that's what I meant to say, he writes two letters, but it's the same letter twice, he's not necessarily chayev, because if those two letters don't form a word in Lashon Kodesh, then according to the Rambam, he's potter. And we paskin Aleph Aleph Ezrecha, you know, because we find that But the truth is that Aleph Des Reka is only because his intention is to complete the word. According to the Magid Mishnah, assuming, again just in theory, that there's no word in Lashon Kodesh that is made up in Aleph. You can break your gut saying Aleph and Aleph, but it's meaningless. With the exception of this very limited list that the Rambam presents, you would be potter for writing an Os Kfula, the same letter twice. Let's just summarize. What the Magid Mishnah is saying in one sentence is that the tziruf between each letter has to form that which at least potentially could become a word in Lashon Kodesh. But if you rewrite the same letter twice in such a way that it cannot possibly become a word, and there's no tziruf between the two letters, like for example, the Gemara says that if you write one os on one board and another os on another board, what's the Lashon HaShas? I don't have time now, it's a Kuf Gimel to look it up. And Eino Negim Zemise, what? What's it called? What's the language? If somebody can look it up. Okay, it's right there. If the Eino Negim Zemise, you can't read it one to the other, he's Potter. Because the two osios have to have a tziruf. Oh. What's the yisod? According to the maskana of the Bir Aloch that Yechayef for Roshem Rishima Achas, it means that if you have some sort of meaning, you can convey a message through this Rishima, is Yechayef. The reason why you chayev for two osios and not less in the Av Malacha, meaning Malachas Kosev, is because one letter doesn't convey any message. If you had one letter which could convey a message, maybe you'd be chayev. But the minimum is to create between these two letters something which potentially could be a word, a teva, in Lashon Kodesh. Stachar Bosai, I would suggest that this is a separate halacha in Meleches Machshavos. What do I mean? That from the standards of Kol HaTorah Kula, there's no need for Ksiva Shtei Osios. And for sure, Ksiva, there would be a Maisa Ksiva with one Os, or even with two Osios that repeat themselves, even though they have no potential of Tziruf. But in Meleches Machshavos, where my Kavana is to create a new entity, a ksav that has meaning to it, that conveys a message, then it's both a kula and a chumra. It's a kula that I'm not chayef for Meleches Kosev, unless those two letters that repeat themselves could form potentially a word, that's a kula, and it's also a chumra that in Meleches Roshem I might be chayef if the Rishima itself conveys a message, even though it's only one Rishima. The tikkun in the Heftah, the ksav, is what determines Meleches Machshavos, and that's a unique halacha in Hilchos Shabbos. And Rabosai, perhaps the source for this whole discussion is the Gemara in Perek HaKonis. The Gemara says, Tan Rabbanon, Liba v'Lipsa Ruach, he blew the fire, right? Eish is one of the Dalet Ovos Nezikin. And the wind came along and fanned the flame. So he's got two forces working. Bitziruf is Zevezeh Gorin. Is he Chayev? The Brisa says the following. Im Yesh Bili Buyo Kidei L'Labosa, if his blowing could create a mazik, it makes the Eish into a potential hazard, even without the Ruach Chayev. The Ruach could take the Eish and be Molech LeMokom Acher. Correct? However, in Ein Bilibuyo Kedela Labos is Potter. Frekta Gemara, I don't understand. Why should it be Potter? So what if he needs the help of the Ruach? Lehevi Kizore, I throw up the grains with the chaff, and that's one of the 39 malachas. Ruach mesayato, he's chai for winnowing, right? I assume the word winnowing comes from the wind. Is that I don't know. That might be what you have to. The etymologists will have to research. Anyway,
It's the wind that completes Malecha Zorah, whatever the word is in English. Okay. So the Gemara offers a number of answers to this question. But the most fascinating, and I think the most significant answer, because it really gives you a breakthrough, is Ravashi. Ravashi Omar, Ki Amrinin Zoreh V'ruach Misayato Am Chayev, because the Ruach helps me to complete the Meleches Mavir, or, like we saw in the Paradigm case, Meleches Zoreh, Hani Mili Linyin Shabbos. That's a bzuder aloch in Shabbos. The meleches machsheves asr Torah. Again, meleches machsheves lechumra, like we saw in removing the gavshushes, and like we saw perhaps in meleches mochek or in meleches kosev in chok toches. We're talking about a chumra here that you chayev not by the standards of kol Torah kula. Aval hocha grama v'almahu ugrama v'nezikin pot. So from standards of Maisa, B'kola Tarkula, does Hasnikin Maisa. This is not a Maisa. What'd you do? You relied on the wind? No. The wind cannot be mitzuruf to your libui to create a Maisa of creating a Maisa, creating an Eish. That's already called Groma B'nezikin, and there's no Machayev of Groma. It's not a Maisa Masik. Or it's not a Maisa Vasiya Samasik, I would say. But in Shabbos, where the Torah says Meleches Machsheves, you set it up such that you could utilize the forces of nature to achieve a tikkun, that Machshava makes it into a Malach. This I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, even though I said I believe, which sounds like there is a shadow of a doubt, so let's erase that. This is no doubt the source for Meleches Machsheves Lechumra. That if the tikkun is a result of my machshava and I utilize other forces, then my maisa, even though felt it's incomplete from the standards of kol tarkula be grama and not a maisa, nevertheless in Hilchos Shabbos it is a maisa. And I think, Shemi, that sort of addresses your question of chok tochos, because in ksiva and Shabbos we're not saying that this is a ksiva. What we're saying is it's grama. You move away the area around the os, so that the os will protrude, and therefore you created a ksav, but you did it through groma, yechayev, because meleches machsheves osr tov.
Meleches machsheves just comes out to mean basically that we can't learn from other areas of halacha to Hilchos Shabbos.
Correct.
And we don't just look at the tzotzos ha'maisa or just the mice itself. You basically have to address every case as it comes.
And therefore you should not, again, I'm talking to myself here when I say you, so you is I, but you should not walk away from Masechet Shabbos thinking that Meleches Machsheves is a Ptur, Dov Shein Miskaven, and Mekalkel, and Kalachar Yad, and Meleches Machsheves Pateh Zivu, and Meleches Machsheves Tzichu L'Gufa, etc. That would be an oversimplification of a very complicated halacha, which underlies the entire Masechet Shabbos and all our understandings of the Lamentes Melachos. You see clearly that for Meleches Zoreh, Meleches Machsheves is a Chumrah. It can engender a Chiyuv of Tikkun because of your Machshava, your Kavanah, whereas in standards of Kol Torah Kula, it would not be a Maisa. And that's, I think, in Meleches Boneh, and that, I think, would apply in Meleches Kosev, and it would apply in Meleches Zoreh. And I think, in my humble opinion, that's very important. And I'm not saying you didn't know it, but for me at least, it's clarifying something very, very important. Okay. Now I want to talk to you about Meleches Kibui, because I think we have this Gemara in Bava Kamma, which is talking about Meleches Zoreh and Meleches Mavir, I think has a very important repercussion as far as Meleches Kibui is concerned. So what I want to do is open up to the Rambam, Perek Hey, Halacha Yud Zayin. And there's a very strange diuk, if you're medayik in the Lashon of Rambam. The Rambam is talking about a case where he has a fire going, and he opens up a door. And by opening up a door near the fire, the wind comes in and fans the flames. And the Rambam goes back and forth with Meleches Mavir, Meleches Machava. What is the deal? And listen carefully to the Rambam's language. He writes, Ner shachore adeles, osu liftoach adeles, vilinol kedarko, mitneshu mechabe, because when he opens the door and the wind comes in, it's going to extinguish the fire.
Ella, the Rambam says, Yizoyer b'shasha posech b'shasha noel. He should be very careful, you know, to open up the door, as we say in Hebrew, ba'adinut. You know, do it gently, because if you do it too fast, the wind rushes in and blows out the fire. And you get the impression that the Rambam could have stopped here, and, you know, Dayenu, you know, Kolomosif Gorea. And yet the Rambam gives a whole shtickle Torah, which sounds like a repetition. And again, I want to be medaiked that the Lashon of the Rambam, also Liftochdel, sounds like we're dealing with an Iser, the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon made Gzeira, this, that, and the other thing, but you can avoid the Gzeira if you're very careful about it. But then the Rambam says, Also liftoach es adeles keneged amidora b'shabbos. It's very strange. What is he adding that we didn't have before? And not only that, the Rambam here doesn't give you any room for zehirut, you know, for being careful, open the door gently. But I think if you read Vayta in the Rambam, maybe the Rambam himself clarifies what he means. Says the Rambam, Kidei shetehe aruach minat sheves ba. Here the Rambam adds five words which he didn't have in the Reisha. In the Reisha, he was interested in opening a door, but in fact there's a fire there. And he has a serious problem, the wind is going to blow out the fire, he's got to be very careful. The Rambam in the Sefer is talking about a different halacha. He's talking about the halacha of Kidei shetehe aruach minat sheves ba. It's exactly why he's doing it. He's not just opening a door. He's trying to create a pathway for the ruach to come, and even though it's only a ruach mitsuya, but even a ruach mitsuya might help him by opening the door and creating this pathway, as I call it, to be malabe or to be machabe the ner, whatever it might be. I think the key of keys here is that the Rambam is asking himself the following question. Ribono Shel Olam. This is Groma. I am not putting out the fire. I'm opening a door. Forget about all the other issues of Melach Shein Tzichu L'Gufa, Dov Hashem Miskavim, Psik Reisha. Leave that all out. The Rambam is asking a much more fundamental question. This is not a Maisa Melacha. Where's the Maisa Kibbutz? And I think the answer that the Rambam is giving is that it's not grama. Why? Because in Hilchos Shabbos there's a bezunder halacha of meleches machsheves. Kidei shetehe aruach min hasheves ba. As the Mefarshim expand, the Magid Mishnah and others, he wants to create a pathway. He's doing it in a way where he sets up the grama, knowing full well what the tozaot, what the final repercussions will be, and that's what he's interested in. That creates a meleches kibud. And the Rambam here is not going to add, you know, be careful. What do you mean be careful? He wants to create a kibud. He's doing it in a roundabout, indirect way. Then, since he's doing it b'kavana, therefore, it's called meleches kibud.
Is it
might be a psik resha, I don't know. The Rambam says, even though there's only a ruach mitsuya, which sounds like he's saying that there's not enough in the ruach, but there might be a ruach she'ena mitsuya, but since he's doing it in a way where eventually, you know, the whole question of psikresha is what happens if right now it's not a psikresha, but over the course of time it might be a psikresha. You know what I'm talking about? Like you close the door of the fridge, and you don't know exactly when the psikresha that you'll shut off the light is. You know, you play those games.
The Rav Shlomo Zalman says the same thing by opening the refrigerator door. That since that's the derech to turn alone, it became the melech right. Hashavis, even though it's normally a grama.
Right. Okay, great. But I want to show where Rav Shlomo Zalman got it from. You know, that's you gentlemen are up to Rav Shlomo Zalman. I'm a little before that. I want to know where it comes from. And I think, Rabosai, the source for it is Rabbeinu Chananel. And some of you may remember that I mentioned this Rabbeinu Chananel back in the day. And Rabbeinu Chananel, just give me a minute, because I love to read his language inside. For this halacha, that if you set up a groma deliberately, b'kavana tchila, then that's enough to be machayev you. And that is really in Rabbeinu Chananel, here in the sugya of meleches machabe. So, you know, I don't have it here in the Rabbeinu Chananel right this second, but give me a few minutes, Shimmy. I just want to read it to you in the Shulte Giborim. I think I mentioned the Shulte Giborim to you once. I think it's a
a fascinating Shulta Giborim. It's on Mem Hei Amud Aleph in Dape Arif. And he writes that if he does a pigrama, but he has kavana tchila, then he's chayev. Just give me 1 second. I'm so sorry. I apologize. But if I don't find my... Okay, who's the wise guy? It's after Purim, guys. I'm just kidding. Of course, I had all my pages here. Oh, I probably put it inside here or something. I'm going to be very disappointed in myself now that I don't... Does anybody happen to have... I don't think it's on this Myra McComas page, but I gave it out about 2 weeks ago. The Shulta Giborim. Yeah, but where is it in the riff? I thought it was Mem Hei, and now I'm getting confused. Oh, yeah, it is Mem Hei. This is Gemara Bava Kamma. Minor change, not a serious problem. Okay. He says, "Behind Maisa Sha'osa Ba Mimela Hakibui Shapir Dami." He says, but the e miskavin lakach afilu al yidei grama os. Oh, that was the lashon that I wanted to show you. Gevaldige chiddush here, the Shulta Giborim. And basically, it predates the Shulta Giborim. It's back in Rabbeinu Chananel, which of course I'm not going to find right now. But I gave it to you once, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago. We just never got a chance to learn it together. Okay. Now, Rabosai, just to finish our discussion for today, again, I have a lot more to say about this, but I want to share with you on the topic of Meleches Machsheves Lekula, a very interesting piece, which is here in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav, from Rav Herschel Shecht, in the name of my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik. He says the following. The Avnei Nezer, in Or HaChaim Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, wonders about people who borrow tefillin. Did I ever tell you this? Ah, it's a fascinating chiddush of the Avnei Nezer. He says that a person has a smaller head or a larger head than his friend. So what does he do? He changes the kesher. Because kesher tefillin is likuva. No good. Technical foul, as we say in basketball. He says, "Mitakin es hakesher rosh lufi gadol rosho ubishas maisa daito lahachzir hakesher kikadmuso tekef liachar anochas hatefillin."
Tie it back for him. You can't just give it back to him with
a... Right. That would be nice to give it back to him and it doesn't fit him. You know, like next time, don't borrow my tefillin. Find yourself another culprit. He says, "B'chai gavna, eino yotze yidechovis tefillin." You hear this? The Avnei Nezer says, you're not yotze. Why? "De lehechsher atfillin be'inon kesher shal kayoma. U'bedaito lahatir sakesher bo bayo mamish. Pshita delo mikri kesher shal kayoma." So again, you need a kesher shal kayoma for tefillin, and bo bayom, you certainly want to give it back to him. It's the bo b'shal almost, bo b'daka, and it's a kesher shal kayoma. So my Rebbe Zichron Levracha said he doesn't agree. He says for sure it's okay. Why? He said the following. There are two halachas in kesher shal kayoma. One halach of kesher shal kayoma is in the Tzuras HaKesher itself. The Kesher has to be tied in such a way that it lends itself to be Kayama. And if it's not a Kesher Shal Kayama, it's not a Kesher in Kol HaTorah Kula. It won't be a Kesher for Tefillin. But there's a second Halacha in Kesher Shal Kayama, and that's totally in your Kavanah. That's Halacha in Hilchos Shabbos. That Halacha is engendered by Meleches Machsheves. If your Kavanah is to tie this knot and take it apart, then it's not a kesher shal kayoma from the unique perspective of Meleches Machsheves. This is a case of Meleches Machsheves Lekula. If he ties the knot on the tefillin in such a way that it is absolutely permanent, mitzad, the kreftzah shel kesher itself, the tzuras hakesher,
But for sure, as far as Kol HaTorah Kulu is concerned, that's a kesher, and it'll fill in Yotze. Now, for us, there's another halach, an additional requirement with regard to Melech HaShabbos. The condition is that you have to have in mind that it be Kayom. That's the mission at the beginning of Haboneh. Melech HaMiskayem is you have to have intention that this kesher remain for a long time. If your intention is to tie it and take it apart, then in Hilchos Shabbos, that's not called Meleches Machshavos. You didn't really make a tikkun because your intention was to take it apart. And I think, Rabosai, this might be very similar to what we said in the name of the Chassam Sofer before. My Rebbe was not aware of this Chassam Sofer, that in Meleches Binyan, if your intention was, even though you built a beautiful structure, and it would certainly be royalist kayim liyomim rabim, whatever that is, but your intention was to take it apart, then according to some sofa, you're not chayim for such a binyan. It's a binyan she'ena shel keva, and it's not dumya the mishkan, where the Torah says, al pi Hashem yisou. Therefore, you're potter meleches machsheves. That would not be a universal halacha in what constitutes binyan. If the binyan itself is royalist kayim mitzad atzmo, if the tzuras binyan is that it would stand liyomim rabim, then in kol tarkula that would constitute boneh. Ella in Shabbos, because the special halacha meleches machsheves, there's a new p'tur, because in your mind it's ainam iskayemis. You decide that you want to build it here on a temporary basis. It may last for 5 years, but eventually you're going to take it apart. So Rabosai, just to summarize, and that's my last line for the day, it's fascinating to me to classify meleches machsheves in two different directions. Sometimes it's lekula, and sometimes it's lechumra. Sometimes you're chayav because of meleches machsheves, whereas in kol tarkula it would be grama. Sometimes you're potter because of meleches machsheves, because your intention was to take something that's objectively royalist kayim, but you don't want to be miskayim. Okay then? We'll stop.
Do you need a binyan shel chabonah that has to be...
What I'm suggesting is that as far as the mitzvah binyan beis haknesses is concerned, if the binyan itself is royalist kayim yomim ravim, I don't care. You know, invite me to your groundbreaking ceremonies, the Chanukah Sabayis. And if you want me to say a short drasha, I'll do that too. What's the problem? The Simcha Gedola. This is a great Beis Knesset.
Beis Knesset is Tali and Kabana.
It's what?
It's Lav Dafka Shabbos, that's Tali and Kabana.
No, I'm suggesting that Dafka and Shabbos, with Halachim, Lech Smach Sheves, it depends on your Kavana. In Kol HaTarkut, it depends on the structure itself. If the structure could overcome all the winds in the world, because you spent $1 million on this tent, you know, if you know what I'm talking about.
Beyond Shabbos, that are Tali and Kabana.
I don't know.
Kilayim is Tali and Kabana.
Oh, you mean the sugi at the beginning of Baba Basra.
Oh. Tal is a club. Anything that is Tali and Kavana has told us. Anything that has told us is Tali and Kavana.
Yeah. So you want to know about Kalayim? Excellent question. I was not prepared about Kalayim. Correct. Kalayim might be Tali and my Kavana. He's right. That's the Rashi at the very beginning of Bab Basra.
But the Rabbi Paskin's the
Chumra
or the Kula. That you don't even like as much as like Kilayim.
Yeah. All right. So I don't know. I'm not holding down Kalayim. You know, if you want me to prepare Shir Kalayim. You know, then we have to start learning Zrayim, you know. And, I had a copy of the Rabbeinu Kanana. Of course. In Kol Tarkula? Oh, in Shabbos.
That's the Sugi with the Deleika, right? The Sugi with the Deleika, so Gromos Potter, right? So we say,
right, so the only matir would have to be according to Rabbeinu Chananel and the Shulti Giborim would be the Pikuach Nefesh or the Bol Al Mabono, whatever the case might be. So again, what we have to do now is look at that sugya, I don't know where it is, and square that with the Rabbeinu Chananel. So I'll show you the Rabbeinu Chananel, but I actually
actually had a copy
I'm never gonna
of the Rabbeinu Chananel for you, but of course...
Because that's saying in Kibra as well, right? We're saying in Kibra, right?
I'm not going there, but because I'm allowed to do that, I'm going to work...
But maybe there it's a Malach Shein Tzichel Gufa. I don't know. What's the case there?
Yeah.
See if you can find it. I'll look for the Rabbeinu Chananel.
Based on the Rashman on it.
Oh, sure enough, I left a Ben Chanal in my on my desk. Here, let me just get my glasses and read it to you. Rabosai, I forgot to mention Rabbeinu Chananel. Okay, I found it for you, yeah. Is Rabbeinu Chananel... No, he's not quoting Rabbeinu Chananel, but I think the Yesod of the Shulchan Aruch is already... predate, you know, it's predated by Rabbeinu Chananel. Shabbos, please write this down because my pages just fly in all directions. Shabbos Kuf Chof Amid Beis. This is Meleches Kibui. And Rabbeinu Chananel says the following. Ki pligi beruach mitzuya. I'm not going to go through the whole Rabbeinu Chananel. He says, Hacha grama bi'alma. U grama b'nezikin patur. Shmamina. The cave under Mashvei Orcha, that he makes a road for the wind to blow, is afilu l'ruach mitzuya michshevlei b'shabes asur dehavi meleches makshavs. Even though he says in Nezikin he's part of it or his grama, so that's the case of liba. The lips are ruach, so the wind now is going to fan the flames, or the wind is going to put out the flames. So in Nezikin that would be considered grama. However, here, since he's machshevit, in order to blow out the fire or to fan the flames, whatever the case may be, in Shabbos, it's meleches machshevis. And that's why you can't do it. And I think if you take this Rabbeinu Chananel, and by the way, the Rambam is very often built on Rabbeinu Chananel. But if you take this Rabbeinu Chananel and go back to Perek Hey, Halacha Yud Zayin, but read the Rambam carefully. He's got a Reisha and a Sefer, and the difference is that in the Sefer he says he was miskaven to make this pathway and blow up the fire. I think Rabbeinu Chananel is the source, is the precedent for the Rambam. Okay, I have it here on this page.
The Star K ovens. Yeah.
Do you want to walk me out? I just, as usual, I'm late to my glide appointment.